Yes, this special guest is a special friend. His name is Randy Alcorn. He's a New York Times bestselling author. He's written over 50 books. And, you know, he's just, to me, like the go-to guy when you want to talk about, well, an eternal perspective. In fact, he has a ministry called Eternal Perspective Ministries. And what I love about Randy is whatever he's talking about, he always takes us back to that heavenly view of things. You know, another interesting thing about Randy is he's a lover of fiction. He's a lover of art. He's a artistic kind of a guy who also happens to be a theologian. So he takes the truth of God's word and brings us to it in an accessible way, in an understandable way, in a friendly way. And I know Randy would disagree with me, but if C.S. Lewis maybe had a child or a grandchild, his name would be Randy Alcorn. Because to me, you write in that tradition of Lewis, which is theology. You know, Lewis was really an apologist in many ways. But yet, of course, you know, a great author, a great writer of fiction, Chronicles of Narnia, much more. But I think you are in that vein with, let me put it another way. If C.S. Lewis and C.H. Spurgeon had a child, it would be Randy Alcorn.
It's getting weird now.
It's getting weird. But those are those people influences in your life, Randy?
Well, they really are, and I certainly have never heard it put that way, and hope I never do again. But anyway, yeah, Spurgeon and Lewis, absolutely. I mean, great influences on my life. And I have hanging on my wall in my office something you gave me, Greg, the handwritten letter from Spurgeon. Yes. And it just,
by the way, I want that back. I regret giving it to you. I was feeling generous that day and I miss it. No, seriously. Could you just make a photocopy, put that on your... No, I'm joking. That's for you. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Handwritten letter from Spurgeon that starts, Dear Greg.
Yes. And that's why I miss you've it. You've been around. It to me.
You've been around a long time, yes. Greg. Anyway, yeah, Spurgeon, great influence. Because, you know, here's the thing, and you know this very well, Greg, but... you can go to a book like The Valley of Vision, the book of Puritan Prayers, which I recommend to people all the time. And if you want to see Jesus, you go to that book, and you can't believe the Puritans and how close to God and the depth and their sense of the greatness and majesty of God and also the love and grace of God. Hmm. And it's like it was written yesterday, aside from the these and the thous. And Spurgeon was in many ways the last of the Puritans. And he brought great perspective to the problem of evil and suffering. And of course, you look at what Spurgeon had to say about Jesus. When I was writing Face to Face with Jesus, I was looking up what Spurgeon had to say about Jesus. And it's like, well, pretty much everything he said. I mean, honestly, 90% of what he had to say, always, whatever the text was, would come back to Jesus. And that's what we need.
Yes, that's right. And you mentioned your new book, Face to Face with Jesus, subtitled Seeing Him as He Really Is. And we're offering this book actually to our listeners this month for their gift of any size. So this book, what would be, if you were to sum up what this book is all about, tell us.
It's that Jesus is the one that we must always look to. He is the beginning. He's the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, as it's put in Scripture, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Every point of reference in our life should begin and end with Jesus, and he should be there in the middle. Mm. And to have our eyes on Jesus is really the key to the Christian life. And I think what we do sometimes, Greg, and you've seen this, is that we look back to the past tense of our salvation, for those of us who know the Lord, and we say, I was saved. Of course, in Scripture, there's three tenses of salvation. Mm-hmm. I was saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved.
That's right.
So we have justification in the past, sanctification in the present, glorification in the future. Mm-hmm. But it's all about Jesus. That's what they all have in common. I mean, if we take our eyes off Jesus, then we lose complete perspective, because Jesus is, we can talk about the sovereignty of God as we're facing difficulties in our lives, and that's a wonderful doctrine. It's a beautiful doctrine. But it's Jesus who makes that doctrine warm. He's the one that gives it blood. He's the one who incarnates it. I mean, literally, it's the sovereignty of God is warm. I mean, like 98.6 degrees. Mm-hmm. Jesus became a man. God became a man, Son of God, Son of Man. And when we see him in his fullness, our Savior who went to the cross for us, all of a sudden, every hard thing that I'm facing just shrinks in comparison to the wonder and the sacrifice and the beauty of what he did. I will be delivered from suffering for all eternity. Right now, there's still some suffering. This is the closest to hell that any of God's children will ever experience. Mm. And sadly, it's the closest to heaven that any non-believer will ever experience, unless and until they put their faith in Christ.
Wow, so true. I actually took notes of what you were saying. It was so good. You know, we're told in the book of Hebrews, lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So that's the key. It's something we have to keep doing. You know, there's a song we used to sing years ago, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I think the problem is we look at our problems and they loom large, and maybe they actually are large. But I think if you have a big God, you have relatively small problems. And if you have big problems, do you have a small view of God, perhaps?
Absolutely. You remember that book from many years ago, J.B. Phillips, Your God is Too Small.
Yeah.
And I think that is so true, that the God in our minds is not always the true God. I mean, somebody can say, oh, I don't believe in a false God like other people do. Well, you can believe in the true God, but not see him as he really is.
Yeah.
You can be a believer in Jesus, but what Jesus are you believing in? Are you believing in the real Jesus, full of grace and truth, who is shown to us in God's word? Or are you believing in a popular cultural Jesus where it's just all about kindness and tolerance, but nothing about truth and justice? Well, he is kindness, and he is grace, but he's also truth. He came full of grace and truth, and gazing upon him, we are to be transformed into the image of grace and truth.
These are some of the insights you're going to find when you read this new book by Randy Alcorn called Face to Face with Jesus, Seeing Him as He Really Is. And I think this will really be a helpful book for you, no matter what you're facing in life.